Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Thanksgiving Day episode of Birds vs. Boys. We hope you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving Day week and no work is getting done if you are working or not, because that's what Thanksgiving Day week is all about. I would ask Aiden how he's feeling, but I don't want to because we are recording this on Tuesday and I believe some sort of game happened on Monday night. I don't know who played. I don't know who won. I don't know how many people watched, but apparently there was a game, and I'm sure Aiden is going to be just like Micah Parsons, slamming back a C4 powder to his face heading into this episode. Aiden, how are you?
I'm great. I feel like I'm on C4 right now. Technically, I am because I just came from the gym and took pre-workout. There was a little game last night between the Chiefs and Eagles. It was the most watched Monday Night Football game in 27 years. The Eagles now have the 3 most watched games of the season. Are they the new America's team? Yes, I'm doing quite well after that performance.
Please take it. Take the tag name. Be America's team. I'm all about it. Have fun.
All right, we will. There's a little bit of sick irony, right? Jerry Jones has always just valued like the ratings and entertainment. And now the Eagles are the team that's getting the ratings. They're the most watched games this year, but they're also producing a better on-field product that's resulting in consistent wins. So they took everything that he wanted to do as America's team. Now they are that. They are the ratings factory, but also winning football games.
But you know what Jerry cares about the most?
The Ring of Honor.
Making that money.
That's true.
And he is still the most valuable franchise in all of the world. I'm not saying, and I am not one of those people or those fans that tweets that out when the Forbes thing comes out, because like, what the hell does that matter to me?
Yeah.
Like, am I getting some of that money? Are you getting some of that money when you tweet it, Cowboys fan? No, you're not. Okay. So who cares how much money, Jerry? Just get me a goddamn Super Bowl. And speaking of that, Aiden, that is coming. You may be winning now.
I'm worried.
You may be getting ratings now, but come December 30th, the curse will be broken. Jimmy Johnson will be in the Ring of Honor. All will be set, and the Super Bowls will be back.
I am very worried. You and I are vibes guys. Mm-hmm. Big time good vibes with them inducting Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor. On a Saturday night. As you mentioned, well overdue. And there was some angst amongst the fan base, including yourself.
Yep.
That is now gone with this situation. The vibes are strong. I don't love that. Has the feeling of holes when Stanley Yelnats carries Madame Zeroni's nephew off the mountain and then it rains for the first time in like 100 years and they find that treasure. That's kind of where we're at. They're vindicated now, and I don't like it.
Saturday night against the Lions, baby.
Speaking of the Lions, the Bears, thanks for absolutely nothing, you assholes. Like, come
on. Couldn't do it. Nothing.
They were playing so well, which I'm sure actually is a good thing because now they'll have a better draft pick. But what the hell, man? Like, you're up 12 with 3 minutes left. Help us out a little bit.
Just help something out, right?
Do something.
I mean, I will say the Rams did help out the Cowboys beating Seattle because, I mean, listen, I've seen it on Twitter, you know, Cowboys fans are still like, there's still a chance for the division. And yes,
there is.
Technically, there is. But I have my sights much more on the wild card right now. And I want to get the top wild card spot so we don't have to go to San Francisco. We can go to whoever the winner of the South is. And then have to go to Philly or Detroit after that, which I'd much rather go to than the bane of their existence in San Francisco.
San Francisco, and it's just Bill Murray, and he's in Groundhog's Day, and he wakes up, and the same song's on the radio, and he looks outside, and it's, well, Cameron, it's cold out there.
If
it's Fred Warner out there today.
If this goddamn team has to play San Francisco in the playoffs, and for some reason they just, I don't know how much stupider games against San Francisco can end than a Dak Prescott run up the middle and just run out of time, or then putting Ezekiel Elliott at center. I don't know what they could do, but I'm sure that they will do it.
That they will do it. That thought did cross my mind last night where I was like, if we lose to the Chiefs again, where do we go from here? because it's like, all right, this is now three times in 3 years and two big moments. This is the best you have to offer, and you're still losing to them. It may have crossed my mind in like the third quarter, but alas, we won the game.
I got to tell you what, speaking of that game, man, you and I talked beforehand. Like, I don't think either team looked great last night, right? I think that's agreeable, but championship, good teams find ways to win even in ugly, stupid, bad games. But there was, and this is strange. I mean, this is one of the first times I've ever watched a Patrick Mahomes game where the entire second half, I was like, yeah, they're not going to score. When he got the ball back with 3 minutes left, I'm like, I have no hope. Even though he was still putting, like, it was 4th and 25 and it was in his hands.
Oh, God. Even on 4th and 25, I was like, just build the Great Wall of China in front of that yardstick. In front. Oh,
and he kept throwing happened. It to that dude all night.
Yeah, all night. Justin Thomas over Travis Kelce. But wow. Yeah. I know you didn't have confidence. I had all the confidence in the world. And people are going to talk about the Valdes-Scantling drop over and over again as the reason that they lost the game. And listen, I'm sure it must suck for your receiver to drop a ball in a big moment in an Eagles-Chiefs game in the fourth quarter with the game on the line. That would be awful. Can't imagine how that would feel.
Nope.
Yeah. Haven't been there before. Never. But at the same time, you're right. Like, that whole second half, they really shut him down. And Troy Aikman was talking about it. It was like, they are playing bend but don't break. Because, like, I don't even really think they're bending, you know? Like, they came out of the half and we went three and out real quick. And I was like, oh boy, like, that's a disaster. They're up 17-7. They're getting the ball back. And they immediately forced a punt. I mean, they did a great job. And in the first half, they were able to run on the Eagles. But that second half, they really cleaned it up. And they really locked them down and locked Mahomes down. And you can talk about the Valdes-Scantling drop all you want. Like, they were not in a good position for most of that second half.
No, I mean, the Valdes-Scantling play is basically the cherry on top of a shit cake, right?
Yeah.
Of an offensive performance. You had Travis Kelce dropping balls. I would argue his fumble in the red zone is 100 times more impactful than the Valdes-Scantling drop, because they got nothing out of it. And the Eagles didn't go down and score. I believe they went three and out after that, but you got nothing out of it. Even if you score 3 points there, it's a different ball game. Patrick Mahomes's interception in the end zone, people are forgetting about that. I mean, you got no points out of that drive. So those things compound and add up way more than one bomb that went off some dude's hands. And speaking of the interception, I will give a shout out to Kevin Byard. I thought he was all over the field last night. He did, I believe, he got caught up in a switch, in a pick for the touchdown for Kelce. I don't think that was his fault at all. But, I mean, he was all over the field last night. Had the interception, had pass breakups. I thought he played a great game.
Yeah, it was his best game as an Eagle. 8 tackles, that interception, a huge pass breakup as well. The Eagles just can't solve that pick play against the Chiefs, which is insanely ironic because we got called for offensive pass interference on every pick play we attempted 2 years ago. I will be 1,000% honest. That Valdes-Scantling ball was in the air, and I saw the distance he had between him and Bradley Roby. I looked at the clock and started doing the math on, like, how much time we had. Like, I had already mentally talked myself into going down the field to kick the field goal. And everyone's like, well, if he would have caught it, they would have won the game. It's like, yeah, the Eagles would have had the ball with 1:47 and 3 timeouts. This game was not over. That's all I hoped for in the Super Bowl, was just give the ball back to Jalen. And, yeah, I just thought that the defense did such a great job in the second half. And, you know, guess you should have been studying film instead of studying the set list of the Ayers Tour. So what can you do?
I will say, too, not only did I think your offense was opportunistic, right? A couple of those screen plays to Swift were huge. The defense played very big in the second half. Mm-hmm. But I would also say the special teams. I mean, your punter was pinning them deep. And that tackle that Job had to pin them deep, that shoestring tackle on Kadarius Toney, because if you let him get by there, you know, I mean, they could have got the ball up at the 35, the 40-yard line, and it's a different ballgame.
Yes, 100% on everything you just said. My mind is racing a mile a minute right now. the special team, the Eagles, like everyone's talking about, oh, they're winning ugly. They're doing a lot better with the little things. Red zone efficiency, they were 3-for-3, as Brandon Lee Gowden pointed out. They're like 75% over the past three games. The league, the best in the league is the Dolphins at 78%. So they're on brand with the top of the league right now in red zone efficiency lately. Special teams, Britton Covey had a huge return to set them up with the 40.
Yep.
To pin them back at the 10, you just talked about that Josh Jobe tackle. And Kadarius Toney, like, what the fuck, man? He, when he plays us, he turns into the first round pick he should have been. He looks like one of those water bugs that darts around. When
he's,
he plays,
he's like Ezekiel Elliott against the Eagles at the Financial Field.
Oh my God, he turns into a superhero. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, he looks like a, against us, looks like a water bug, just whoop, 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 all around.
Ezekiel Elliott else, at the link,
looks like a frog who can't catch a fly.
Ezekiel Elliott against the Eagles in the link. The Washington Commanders and Kadarius Toney.
Hey, they're all turning the fucking January 2006 Kobe Bryant. Well, they're unstoppable. I can't believe it's the dumbest thing.
I thought you were going to say something about January 6th there, and I got a little nervous for a second.
Although we are now we're 2-for-2 against Tomahawk Chop team. So
yeah, you're just
some of those people were definitely at January 6th.
Oh, I will say. The Eagles fans try. I mean, all of a sudden I'm like watching the game and there's Dumphy's fat stomach in the first row. Like, how does this dude? And then the painted face guy. I'm like, how do they?
They're everywhere.
Do they not have lives or jobs?
I think that all the time. How do these people pull it off and how do I do it? Like, what do you do for a job that you can go and how do you have the time off to do it? I think about that all the time. I wish, man. I wish. What a life. This would be a full-time job.
It'd be awesome. I mean, are you in on that Where's the Wolf Kingdom thing? Did you see that whole thing about the Chiefs wolf guy that ESPN's doing a documentary on?
The bank robber?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I remember when he got arrested for it. Did they find him?
I don't know, because now they have this whole wannabe Netflix ESPN Plus documentary that they're doing on it. It's called like Where's the Wolf or something.
So he's a wanted fugitive.
I believe so.
I think there is a greater than zero chance that he has attended a Chiefs game since he's been wanted for bank robbery and armed burglary. Don't you think?
And what did you say earlier? We're vibes, guys. Bad vibes.
Yeah. If Dumphy got arrested for armed robbery robbing banks, we'd be in a lot of trouble right now. But we're 9-1 because our best guys are staying out of trouble.
Yep.
I don't want to take up too much time in the game because I know we want to get into the Cowboys on Thanksgiving and they've got their own gauntlet coming up. I do want to say one thing because you kind of brought it up earlier with the special teams playing well and, you know, big time tackles, opportunistic football on defense. I can't live with the rhetoric around this team when people are hating on the Eagles and it's like, oh, they won ugly and they barely won and they won by luck and it's because if these seven things happened for the other team, they would have won the game. If the Chiefs wouldn't have screwed up these seven times, then they would have won the game. That's how sports has worked our entire lives. Like, you know how many Philly sports moments that are ingrained in my mind that torture me on a daily basis where I'm like, if these seven things would have happened, you know how many championship parades I would have seen if seven things would have went differently? Like, I can't do this like, well, if Valdes-Scantling caught it and if they found this holding call in the second quarter with 13 minutes and 33 seconds left and if Dak doesn't step out of bounds, it's like, but they did. He did drop it. He did step out of bounds. There's missed calls in games. I feel like the Larry David meme when people are talking about the Eagles and they're like, well, they only won because these seven things went against the other team. It's like, shut the fuck up. Yep. Shut the fuck up. You ever see that clip? Yep. It's like, I can't do it. That's sports. This is not an episode of television. It's not scripted. That's why we love sports, because those seven things do happen to both teams every week.
And guess what? Maybe those seven things will happen in the playoffs, and then it's a different story. But until then, they're 9-1. I saw a comparison for the Eagles today that they are last year's Minnesota Vikings, who are 8-1 to start the season, because they're winning very close games, and the Vikings were, things were bouncing their ways, and I was like, I mean, I think they're not. I think they're a much better team than last year's Vikings. The Vikings last year were extremely fraud. This team went to the Super Bowl last year. We all know that they were good, and we all expected them to be good again. So,
here is the Vikings had a negative point differential last year, and at one point in time, we're losing a game 34-3 that they won. So, if we are down 34-3 to the Bills, we can start to talk about it.
Yep, then we can talk. Oh, all right, let's talk about the Cowboys. I don't have a ton to talk about this game because it's the Commanders. It's on Thursday. Did you see the Giants quarterback, his celebration when he did the
Tommy DeVito?
He
played well.
Oh, God, yeah. As soon as he scored, he did. It was like half Italian, half like Johnny Manziel almost.
What a combo.
Right? But so he beat the Commanders. But like I always say, and like you said earlier, it doesn't matter when these teams play in the division, anything can happen. And we've seen what the Cowboys can do or not do on Thanksgiving. Like last year, they played against the Giants. They won the game, but it was an ugly, kind of grinded out game. So I'm not expecting a blowout here. The Cowboys are 11-point favorites. This is the third straight week the Cowboys are double-digit favorites.
It's pretty crazy, right?
And they covered
both times.
They covered both times. So hopefully they can cover this game. I think this team plays so much different at home. And they are at home. And this pass rush especially plays different at home. And Sam Howell is the second most sacked quarterback in the league this year. The Giants, well, I think he's the most sacked quarterback, but the Giants overall have given up more sacks. With multiple quarterbacks. But they are the second, I guess, leading team, you could say, in giving up sacks. And what do the Cowboys do? They have the most pressures in the league this year. They get after the quarterback. Micah Parsons is coming off a 2.5 sack performance. So I think they are going to have the ability to get after Sam Howell in this game. The thing
that scared... What flavor of C4 do you think they had? Because my guess is fruit punch.
He said he's never doing it again.
I don't blame him. Did you think about this when he said that? I didn't realize that pre-workout was legal in the NFL to like take before a game.
Yeah, I didn't. I never thought about it either.
Me neither.
Surprise! There's going to be a fine coming. Watch, he's going to get suspended for 3 games now this season.
He definitely got drug tested after that game. There's a lot of weird stuff in pre-workouts.
Were you watching that game?
I had Red Zone on, so I saw a lot of it.
But like Greg Olsen was they literally said it looks like he drank jet fuel heading into this game on the broadcast because he was flying. He was completely flying around. He was lined up over the center like 85% of the time on third downs. And it was literally, he was just running a 40-yard dash to the quarterback.
Smart play. The Chiefs did that to the Eagles. They were lining up Chris Jones everywhere. And it was really confusing us in the first half. We bounced back pretty well in the second half and like countered it with screens, which I thought was fantastic, but that is good. Just, you know, like, move him around. Let him be the Joker. Just be the rover. And I think the Browns were doing that with Myles Garrett earlier this year. And it feels like that was just like a barrier-breaking moment in the NFL where like, oh, yeah, what if we just put our best athlete on defense literally anywhere and find out what happens? And they're like, oh, shit, that worked.
And these are the things that the Cowboys usually do with Micah Parsons, except when they play the 49ers. They just line him up against Trent Williams. I'm like, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Their right tackle is clearly their weakest link. And your best player is going against an arguably first ballot Hall of Famer. Why? Trent Williams can't move positions. Micah Parsons can.
And has. Like all the time his entire life.
What are we doing? That's another story for when we get to play the San Francisco 49ers in January.
Maybe. Well, thanks to the freaking Bears.
Oh, God. So I, you know, last year they lost to Sam Howell, right? Last week of the season. That was when I was in Turks and Caicos. We did a show when I was on the roof. But they just didn't show up to that game. The game really didn't mean anything. Remember, there was like a chance they could still win the division if the Eagles lost, and then this happened and that happened, and they just didn't show up. Came back the next week against Tampa and they played their best game of the season. So yeah, I'm not worried about that. Do they have weapons? Absolutely. They can move the ball. Sam Howell leads the league in passing yards. I think he also leads the league in attempts. Like, they're just chucking it all around the yard.
They're determined to get him killed is what it is.
Yeah, they just want him dead. And if they go into this game and they're like, all right, we're just going to chuck it all around the yard, like, I seriously believe that this pass rush will get 8 to 10 sacks because the right side of their offensive line cannot handle this defensive line. They can't handle one-on-one matchups. They can't handle the stunts. We saw what the Eagles have done against them. This Cowboys, you know, or lack thereof, doing against them. I believe they will get after him. But the thing that does scare me a little bit is Washington can run the ball, right? And we saw that Dallas is still susceptible to the run sometimes. We saw it last week against Carolina. Chuba Hubbard was running. Miles Sanders, I didn't even forgot he was in the league, to be honest with you. He had about 60 yards
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, he played his best game against the Cowboys, the best game of the year. So if Eric Bieniemy wants to involve the run with Brian Robinson, and how funny is that, that he is the most impactful B. Robinson running back of the season this year? Who would have thought that?
I saw a tweet, and it's the kid who's like skateboarding, and it looks like he's going to wipe out, but he like flips and lands on the board. And it's like when you take B. Robinson in fantasy football in the first round, and it's Brian Robinson.
It's awesome. So that's what scares me. I don't know. You know, Antonio Gibson has been questionable. I believe he was a limited participation in practice today, so he's probably going to go, but that really is a good 1-2 punch. Gibson can catch the ball out of the backfield too. So that's the way I feel like they're going to be in this game. Now, you're not facing the Giants. You're not facing Carolina. I think Washington is on a little bit of a step above, even though the Giants beat them last week. I just feel like you're going to have to keep pace a little bit more with Washington. I believe Scary Terry is the most underrated wide receiver in the league, especially out of all those wide receivers coming out of Ohio State. Now, the Cowboys have done really good against him, shutting him down, but that's been Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs, for some reason, has his number and obviously is not there. So I'm interested to see how they approach that. Is Deron Bland go with him? So there's a lot of mix and matches going on. Now, I think the Cowboys are going to get theirs, right? It doesn't seem like Washington can cover. We saw what Tommy DeVito did against them last week. So I fully intend CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, and Dak Prescott to cook against this defense. I don't even Emmanuel Forbes has an elbow injury. He has not been practicing, so I don't even know if their first round pick at corner is going to play. So the Cowboys are going to get theirs, especially at home. They're fast on that turf. They get theirs on that turf. Six out of their last 12 home games, they have scored over 40 points.
I did not know that.
Wild.
That includes Christmas Eve last year.
Yep.
What a shootout. That was fun.
That was fun.
Except for the pipes in my house were frozen, but aside from that, pretty good day.
Third and 30.
That on 4th and 25, that was the only thing I could think of. I'm scarred for life.
Again,
I was so excited. I'm like, we finally got the Mahomes. Like, this is great. Great job, guys. I'm like, oh, wait, we have to stop them from 4th and 25.
Again, I was at my in-laws' house for Christmas Eve, and I went up. They're all Eagles fans. They're all downstairs. And I had to go upstairs and feed my daughter a bottle. And I was giving her the bottle, and I had the game on my phone. And I was just like, I'll go over the bottle. Like, I thought the game was over. I was like, whatever. I'm sitting down there, and I hear, like, screaming, like, yeah! And, like, they were ahead of me on the phone. I was like, fuck, what happened? And then it was, like, the Dak sack. And I'm like, God damn it. And then, like, I heard, like, grunting and screaming. And I'm like, oh, my God, did they convert this? Like, are you kidding me? And I had the baby. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I saw it. I'm like, oh, God. I'm sorry.
What was she doing?
She was choking on the milk. I'm not doing that again. But anyway.
Subscribe to the YouTube.
Yeah.
While the YouTube's still up.
Don't worry about that. It's okay. But I'm gonna look into the camera. I'm gonna do this.
I'm gonna not look like you stop laughing.
Cowboys. I really enjoy Thanksgiving. I like turkey. I love stuffing. Nice mimosa in the morning. Mm. Couple beers, maybe a bourbon. Pumpkin pie.
Ooh.
Nice little nap.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ruin this for me. Okay. Don't ruin my Thanksgiving. I already have to drive an hour away to get there. That's not going to be fun. Don't take away sweet, sweet Thanksgiving for me this year against the Commanders, because if you lose and then you go to 7-4, again, 5-3 is an ugly record, so 7-4. Don't do it. Just win the goddamn game. Please.
Don't ruin Thanksgiving.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
It's not what the Pilgrims would have wanted.
So, they're double-digit favorites. They're at home. They have everything to play with because, like you mentioned earlier, they have a gauntlet after this, right? I know it's a short week. Washington's on a short week, too. But after this, Aiden, they go to Seattle. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Seattle at home?
Seattle at home. Yeah, because we go to Seattle.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's right. They don't have another away game till like December 12th. It's wild. So they have Washington at home this week.
How?
Seattle at home. Philly.
Philadelphia.
At home. And then
no. We play the 49ers December 3rd. Oh, we play you guys the 10th. Regardless, that is crazy. And I know some people have been talking about the player safety thing, and I agree with it, but
yeah. Well, yeah, their next away game is December 17th in Buffalo.
How?
Well, this week is the 23rd. They're home. Then the 30th.
Is at home. They're home. The Seahawks?
And then they play the Eagles at home.
What do they do on December 3rd? Wait, what's today?
They have a mini bye because they're playing today.
So they have three straight home games. Isn't it wild that December 10th is 3 weeks away?
Yes.
How did that happen? I thought it was like,
yep.
I thought it was June.
Nope. It's coming very fast. So
that's pretty.
But I mean, to end the season with Seattle, Philly, Buffalo, Miami, Detroit, and then the Commanders again. I mean, everybody's talking about that Eagles gauntlet, and I feel like this little gauntlet right here has not been being talked about.
Yeah, it's a little mini gauntlet. Yeah, I totally agree. And the Commanders feel like that like trap in there on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I will say this about the game. This doesn't feel like a hot take whatsoever, but this isn't our most hard-hitting analysis. I think it's really important if the Commanders want to win that they get ahead early.
Yes.
You talked about that pass rush. You talked about the Cowboys' ability to get after an offensive line that really isn't very strong. If you're down 10-0 early, if it's 17-7, they start to pin their ears back against the Commanders, and that you just start feeling bad for Sam Howell and what happens. And you talk about Terry McLaurin, and it's like they just can't get in the flow of their offense. They're not getting it to Brian Robinson with the running game. So if the Cowboys get ahead early, it could be game over early.
Yep. And that's what they need to do. Get up early and then go hunt.
Hey, Tony Pollard scored a touchdown, by the way.
He did. I will say that, he looked a lot better, right? He had burst. He had that 20-yard touchdown run. He ran angry. It was definitely his best game last week and his first touchdown since week one, which is wild.
That is very wild. I listened to a fantasy football podcast and they were really high on Pollard to start at the beginning of the year, like in August. And like every week, they're like, we are never recommending a guy who broke his leg in a calendar year ever again. It's just like every week they bring it up. It was like every time that he doesn't score a touchdown, they're like, he broke his leg in January. Like that's their first thing they say.
What are
every
we doing? Week.
Like, he broke his leg this year.
Literally. And I think he had broke his leg and had a really bad like sprained ankle that he had to have surgery on. So it was like a double, yeah.
That makes it worse. The ligaments make it 10 times worse.
Yeah, it was a double whammy.
Mark
Andrews. Speaking of a double whammy, not really a double whammy, but it could affect both of us. So double there.
Could be a double whammy.
Darius Shaq Leonard released from the Colts. He is a former Rookie of the Year in 2018. He's an All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler. I feel like I blinked and he was the best linebacker in the league. And now all of a sudden he is almost on the street if he clears waivers. I think he's a guy that could realistically join either of our teams. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that's going to want to join a winning team. And that is if he clears waivers, if like a team like, you know, and it, we said it's advantageous for the entire league to let him clear waivers because then you're not guaranteed his salary. You have nothing for next year, but you know, you never know what a team like the Raiders are going to do. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we'll put a claim in.
The Bears.
Yeah.
They traded for Montez Sweat, you know, and gave him a long-term extension. It's like, okay, it's fine. Okay. Yeah. So what am I missing? Like, why is he released? Aside from the contract and, you know, we don't come from a place here that values paying linebackers. So in that sense, I get it. But aside, like, why? His playing time decreased a little bit. What's that?
Shove Alexa Ross on.
Did you see that she interviewed him today?
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Pretty cool. And pretty cool that he was still there doing his charity donations. But so what I've heard is, you know, twofold. One, you know, he's coming off those two surgeries he had. He had like back surgeries and he had no feeling in his legs like leading up to this season. And his play, they saying, has declined a bit. He is not playing the snaps he's used to playing. He's used to being on the field 95% of the defensive snaps this year. It's been around 70. They take him off the field basically in third down and nickel. So he's not on the field in passing situations. His coverage grades have gone down. But the reports I saw from, I mean, I take what Brian Broaddus says very highly. He's a Super Bowl winning scout. He's done this for years. He says the guy can still run, can still tackle. I think there, what I'm hearing is there's issues between his play time. He wants to be involved on the field more, and who knows, maybe they just didn't want to pay him anymore. Maybe they're also like, you know, we're not great anymore. You're not the all pro anymore. We'll let you go, kind of go find some, a new scenery. He says he's back to his all pro, but I don't know.
Take him up to the countryside. Be free. That's my favorite scene in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, it's like, I'll just let him, you know, go out in the field. Be free. You're free. Go.
My cousin, she grew up hot. You know, like, I'm not going to let somebody else fuck my cousin. How they got through that scene without cracking up. I laugh every time I watch it.
I think that's like a top five character of all time.
Oh.
Yeah. You show me a pay stub right now, I quit my job.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, yeah, everything's fine. Hey, yeah, I quit
my job right now.
I work for you.
I come work for
when
you.
When he's at the party and he's just, I don't want to say the word on YouTube,
Steve,
but he's, you know,
Madden.
He's just, Steve Madden. He's just enjoying himself in the middle of the party when she's walking through.
Yeah.
And his wife's there. She's like, what are you?
There's so many quotes that he has where it's like, it's not like the dramatic scenes, but it's just like that scene when they're just like sitting there and he's like explaining and he's like, and Leonardo DiCaprio asks him like, they said he married your cousin. And he's just like, no, her mother was my father's brother. And he like describes the definition of what a cousin is. He's like, no, I didn't marry my cousin. And then describes like the definition. He's like, it's not like that.
Oh, it's so good. What a great movie.
Talk about the kids if they're disabled.
Yeah, we just let them.
Let's let them go to the countryside.
Drive them up. There's a field. We just let them out of the car. Just, you're free. Go. Be free.
You're free now. That's what the Colts did to Darius Leonard. They're like,
yes,
you're free now.
That's fine. I'll be the field.
I'll be the field. Yeah. We'll take him in. I'm torn on this though, because I don't get it. Like, you just don't give up players in their prime who are productive. Albeit the Colts, a lot of the stuff they do doesn't make sense. I don't think they handled the Jonathan Taylor situation that well. So I'm like 50-50. Like, there's gotta be a catch, you know? Like, what's the catch? When someone
catches, he's not the all-pro player that he was.
Yeah, but you're right. I feel like for both of us, it'd be advantageous to sign him again it'd be advantageous. We're not going to get him through waivers. Like if he makes it to us in waivers, he's going to clear through. We're too far back. It's either a team in the beginning takes him and, you know, restructures his deal from here on out and they take him, or he gets to the back and he totally clears and then he's a free agent. And then it's like, it becomes the Cold War in the NFC where it's like, it'll be the Cowboys. It'll be the Eagles. Yep. It'll be the Lions, you know, like everybody will be gearing up to get him.
And the Cowboys need him. I mean, even because they literally don't have linebackers, right?
Yep. Literally.
Leighton Vander Esch's career is done. Evans has been playing. They're playing Jayron Kearse basically down in the box as a linebacker. Marquise Bell, who's been playing great but undersized. They don't have, and they have Damone Clark, who plays well, but they don't have that true like linebacker, and he would be a great addition to the room. And I think Dan Quinn would figure out a way to use him to his best ability. So I would be all in. Again, I'm not worried about like the price tag, whatever. I don't pay the bills. If you can fit it in, do it. And it's not going to be like it's a long-term deal. I'm sure he's going to play and approve a deal.
That's the thing. I feel like he'll want the long-term stability that he had, but I don't think anybody will give him that. And I don't think either of our teams would give that. Especially, you know, like we don't put any infrastructure into the linebacker position, but just like you, like N'Kobe Dean's on IR for a second time this year. So it's really Nicholas Morrow and Zach Cunningham, who admittedly played very well last night. I thought
Cunningham's been playing well. I keep saying
he has. Yeah. They've both had like really good stretches at points this year, but there's nobody behind them. There's no reinforcements. So bringing in that depth, but I don't see them doing it. If he's like wants to sign, I could see him signing somewhere because they gave him this year, next year, something like that.
But I could see him also like an Ndamukong Suh last year, just wanting to join a team like Philly. Like, why would you not want to with the run that they're on?
Yeah, that's true. Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, they came in and remember they signed on Thursday when Jordan Davis had the high ankle sprain, and then immediately they were playing on Sunday. Do you think Darius Leonard, if we signed him, would play on Sunday?
This week, probably not.
Probably not, yeah. I also worry, like, his nickname is the Maniac, which is awesome.
Yep.
But then there comes a time where your back is so hurt that you have no feeling in your legs because you played like a maniac. So, like, that long-term stability, does he want a long contract because this could be the last one?
And then you change your name from Darius to Shaq.
Oh, did he?
Well, I don't know if he legally changed it, but isn't it like that's what he wants? That's what he goes by now.
Oh, that did happen. Yeah. That did happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Those kind of things always Robbie Chosen.
Oh, Temple's Finest.
Yeah.
How about him? Him and his John Redick.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I'm interested to see. I think he will clear waivers. You know, watch. He's going to end up somewhere like Green Bay out of nowhere.
Yeah, somewhere weird. I keep thinking it'll be somewhere weird in the world. Who knows? Seattle. That's my final guess is Seattle. Their team on the cusp, you know, far enough down in the waiver. They're kind of in the middle.
Pair them up with Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, exactly. They preach defense. They, you know, a place that has the Legion of Boom probably has a room for a guy nicknamed the Maniac because of the way he plays defense. Yeah, I can see that.
I hope he doesn't play in 2 weeks then against us.
Facts. Or against us in 4 weeks.
All right. Before we get out of here, do you have anything else on the Eagles of this week? We will be putting out another episode dropping on Friday to preview the Eagles' upcoming game on Sunday. But since this is dropping on Wednesday, we didn't want to make that too stale for you guys and kind of stretch it out. We wanted to do two different episodes this week. One, you know, kind of putting a bow on the Eagles Chiefs Monday night, looking forward to Thursday. And then on Friday, you can look forward to a recap show of the Cowboys on Thanksgiving from myself. And then Aiden and I together putting out a little preview of the Eagles game on Sunday.
A ton of content this week. What a week. This is the best football week of the year, in my opinion.
It is.
Rivalry week, college football, and a lot of NFL. Thursday, Friday, Sunday now. Awesome stuff. No, I don't have anything more on the Eagles. Great win, 9-1. I'm excited for where we're at and for where we hope to be.
Amen. All right, you want to get into these power rankings real quick, and then we'll let the people out of here?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Ooh, this is fun.
I know my list, and I feel like the list is obvious, but at the same time, the order of the list, I think you could interchange like any of the teams that are on here.
Agreed.
Let me know when you're ready.
All right, I'm good.
All right, let's start it off. Power rankings, 5-1. At 5, I have the Lions. I don't know how the Bears fumbled that game away, but they did. And the Lions win another close one. They are 8-2 for the first time since the 1960s. That's pretty wild.
5 for me, it is the Kansas City Chiefs. They are dropping a bit for me. They're 7-3. They still have Patrick Mahomes. Their defense did look some of the best that I've seen them play in a long time against Philly, but that offense just looks stagnant. They are averaging 6 points on the season in the second half. They were shut out in the last 2 games in a row in the second half. Something needs to be fixed, and until I see it fixed, I can't put them any higher than 5.
At 4, I've got the 49ers. They are back in their winning ways. They're getting healthier again. Brandon Ayuk having a breakout year, and Brock Purdy looked fantastic against the Buccaneers. So they seem to be back on track after that little screw up with the 3-game losing streak.
4 for me, it's the Detroit Lions sitting at 8-2. Like you said last week, had that scare against the Bears. God damn it, Chicago.
Come on.
But they find ways to win football games just like the Philadelphia Eagles do. Sitting here at 4 for me.
At 3, I've got the Baltimore Ravens. Everyone knows this team is a thorn in my side because I want them to be good so bad. And they did win against the Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals. They're back on track, and they're getting a good spot. They're the one seed in the AFC right now.
3 for me, also the Baltimore Ravens. They're a frustrating team.
Yeah,
I feel like they should be even better than they are, but they're still damn good. And I think they have a chance in that AFC, which is completely wide open, especially after what we saw the Chiefs do last night, to run the table in the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl.
At 2, I have the Chiefs, maybe just like the first half Chiefs against the Eagles. I do think they're still going to be in it to the end. Their defense is phenomenal, and they still have Patrick Mahomes. It's a different style of football that they play now without Tyreek Hill and without a lot of weapons from Mahomes, but the defense, I think, is best in the league.
2 for me, it is the San Francisco 49ers. What the game on Monday night against the Eagles and the Chiefs showed me is that if the 49ers play their game up to snub, they are winning the Super Bowl this year. They can beat the Eagles. They can absolutely, of course, beat the Cowboys. They can beat the Chiefs. I think they can beat anybody when their game is on, and we're seeing that that game is coming back. So number 2 for me right now, 49ers.
At 1, I've got the Philadelphia Eagles, 9-1. Win on the road in Arrowhead. They are 9-1 again for back-to-back seasons. And Jalen Hurts, 32-4 in his last 36 starts. Mm-hmm. 3 regular season losses in the past 3 years. Ooh, man.
Still has 9 picks. Number 1 for me, it is also the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 9-1. There is no arguing that. I don't care if you win sloppy. I don't care if you win ugly. You go into Kansas City and you do that to Patrick Mahomes. You beat Andy Reid coming off the bye for the first time. You get Jason Kelce his first win against his brother, and you just continue to stack up dubs. We will see what they do against the Bills, against the 49ers, and against the Cowboys 3 straight weeks. That is going to be a test for them, a big litmus test. If they pass that, I don't know. But they are number 1 for me.
Ooh-wee. I could have played again today. I could have watched the Eagles again today.
Tape things and then watch it again.
Oh, I what? Last night at 1 a.m.? I took a picture of this. My heart rate at the gym was 155 beats per minute at around like 6 o'clock yesterday. The fourth quarter, it was also 155 beats per minute. And I was just up in my room at 1 a.m. and they had the game replaying on like NFL Network. So yeah, I was just watching it again. I couldn't get it off.
C4 to the face.
In those games, you don't need C4.
No, you do not. But you know what you need to do? You need to make sure you smash that subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Follow us everywhere we are on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace, Tinder, TikTok. We're everywhere. TikTok is where you'll find our power rankings. Twitter is where you will find all of the memes and the fun. The Chiefs found one of our tweets, the Chiefs fans, and we have been going back and forth with them today. It's a lot of fun. So make sure you follow us, Birds vs. Boys Pod, on Twitter and anywhere you listen to podcasts, Google, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. We are there, and that's where you can get full episodes. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends, tell your families. The name of the show might be Birds vs. Boys, but we cover way more than the Eagles and the Cowboys. If you are an NFL fan, we are here for you because we cover everything from the draft to the Super Bowl and everything in between. Enjoy Thanksgiving. We will be back on Friday.
Go Cowboys.
Chris Hansen here, and I'm going to need you all to take a seat right over there and check out Birds versus Boys.
I think you're completely right here, and I hate it.
Yep. Idiots. Stop doing dumb things.
I got two phones.
Upside alert. Upside alert.
I might go insane.
I think you're already there.
There's no hope. Hope is gone.
If this was an AFC North podcast, we'd be done in 15 minutes.
Bob Hope.
I'm going to drink bleach.
That is? Be the team you promised me you were going to be this year.
This is the Consciously Hopeful Podcast.
I'll be watching.